Hi, hello, howdy, how you doing? Good to see you. Welcome back. Oh, you look like a newbie. Well, welcome. This is the podcast. I am your host. How y'all doing out there? I am coming to you from Wisconsin. It is a good time to be a Wisconsin night. Let me tell you, first of all, it is officially fall, which is always a fun time of the year. And we are just coming off a Wisconsin sweep. Do you know what that is? Do you know that's not when we're sweeping the leaves off our deck? No. A Wisconsin sweep is when all three of our majestic teams win their respected games through the weekend. And it happened, folks. We had a Packer Badger Brewer win this past weekend, and it is glorious. So it's an exciting time to be a Wisconsinite and a Wisconsin sports fan right now. And as the Brewers head towards the end of their season, they are making quite a spectacular push in an attempt to get into the postseason. So kudos to them. It's great. Tune in, watch them, support your Brew Crew. I am the Drew Crew who watches the Brew Crew. You like that? You know what I didn't like, folks? The movie Ad Astra. Recently went to the theater to see that with my Cooper producer. And I expected a few things from it, and I realized it wasn't going to be much. I thought it'd be a little bit on the slow side, just from the trailers. I mean, they set you up for one feeling, but I'm like, I'm not sure there's a lot of action in this story. It's one of those space-centric movies, not necessarily about space itself or sci-fi-ish. It's telling a different kind of story, a more personal story in someone's life, and space is kind of the backdrop, in my opinion. And slow, and so it just kind of creates this slow-paced movie. I know it's based off a book. I have not read the book. Cooper and I both expected pretty much to be Manchestered again. Do you all know what Manchestering is? If you don't, just go listen to the earlier podcast. You'll see Manchester in the title if you want a definition of what exactly it is to be Manchestered. It's not a good thing, really. And I fully expected to be Manchestered by Ad Astra. And actually, we were reverse Manchestered. Ending that did pay off, which is, different from being Manchestered. So that's why I called it reverse Manchestering. All the same, still a little on the slow side. So I recommend renting it, that's for sure, folks. The movie was on the slow side, but the music is still happening here in the Valley, and we're on a bit of a hiatus. The Mile team doesn't have any real official shows or showcases or series happening right now as they take a little breather, regroup, and get us excited for Rhythm and Brews coming up. But in the meantime, there is still great music happening in the Valley, and one of the sessions I recently saw was at the Stone Arch Brew Pub, and it was spectacular. It featured Horace Green and David Paul Martin, and I'm telling you, I just walked out totally enthralled and excited by these two artists and their performance that night in the Brew Pub. It was just a spectacular sound, great music, great tunes, great personalities. Everything just flowed perfectly that night, and I became huge, huge fans of both of them. I've seen and heard them before, but that night really solidified the deal. So we'll talk about that more in the podcast, along with a few other housekeeping bits. I'll share some details of these artists, along with other random fun things like time shaming. You guys ever been time shamed? I want to talk about this in the podcast. I was recently time shamed, and I don't like it. I just defined what it is to be time shamed, so I will share that with you. And then later on, we'll talk about symbolism in animals. Boy, do I have quite a interesting thing with an animal and what my why I'm seeing it in my life a lot recently. So we'll talk about that down the road. It's kind of funny. And then we actually end the podcast on a little bit of a serious note. There's a thing I want to remind folks of and make you aware of. So I think it's going to be an interesting episode, and we're going to feature some great music. So let's kick it off with the song. This is Horace Green. Stay tuned, guys. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Drew Hahn Show. That was Horace Greene. What'd you all think? That was their song Midnight Fuse. Quite fun, huh? Good way to start off the podcast. Quite a fun beat, you know? They do describe themselves as a Wisconsin quartet that crafts danceable indie rock dreamscapes dusted with synth pop and psychedelia. That is quite a description for a band, but they were fun. They have a solid sound. It was just this great experience at the Stone Arch Brew Pub. I'm really curious how Horace Greene got their name, because none of the band members actually are named Horace Greene. There's probably some fun fact that I'm not aware of or where this name stemmed from. So that's a good question why we should have them on the podcast. Fill me in. I could Google it, but what fun is that? I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. They have some great songs. I'm going to be featuring another song later on in the podcast by them, so stay tuned for that. And I also have an awkward artist moment to share. We always love those, don't you? Oh, Drew and his good old awkward artist moment. I can never just keep it smooth and simple. I always have to be idiotic and weird. Much like the podcast. Anyway, so I'll share that story a little later in the podcast. Okay, you guys, I wanted to get into something that I recently diagnosed of society and share it with you and get your thoughts. There's many kind of shamings that happens in the world, you know. We have your mommy shaming and your body shaming and your slut shaming. I just realized there's another kind of shaming that I recently experienced. It's called time shaming. Anyone ever been time shamed before? I'll tell you what happened. I was at one of my many jobs. I'm a floater. I'm all over the place. Work at different parts of Wisconsin, see a lot of different types of people, and sit in a very variety of different kind of backgrounds when it comes to working. With that said, all wonderful, glorious people, but I was having an office conversation about TV and shows and stuff we watch. I will admit it was about Hallmark Channel and their Christmas movies coming up. Anyone else excited? Okay, I am. That's the only reason I get excited for winter. It's the Hallmark Christmas. Anyway, so me and another coworker of mine, we just love the Hallmark movies and the countdown to Christmas, and we just talk about it as much as we can, you know, at a decent level to not distract us from our work. Anyway, so this other newer coworker was hearing this conversation and new to the office, and so we asked her, I'm like, oh, do you watch Hallmark movies to get into those corny things? You must think we're crazy. And she's like, yeah, I don't really watch that, you know. And I was like, oh, I understand, you know, and that was fine. And then she went on to say, yeah, I don't have time to watch TV. You know, in that very nasty tone. I hate when people say that to me. I don't have time to watch TV. As if they are super busy and my life is not full. I was like, are you kidding me? You don't have to watch what we watch or even watch TV, but forgive me if I can organize my life well enough to give me a moment to relax and watch a little TV. Now, I realized what happens from shamers usually is the situation where they're envious. This is pretty much, you know, a person envious of the good organizational of time that I do have. So therefore, they throw shade at me when they don't know how to find time to watch a little TV. I travel the state for 3 different jobs, have a lot of various different hobbies, socialite of Appleton, and have a strong crew and family and friend circle. So I am pretty full. My cup is full, but I maintain and find ways to, equally and level-headedly, you know, find myself in all the scenarios I'd like to be in. It is a hard chore and quite a juggling situation. I will sit down and watch my Hallmark Christmas movies one way or another. So I did not appreciate being time-shamed. So raise your hand. Have you ever been time-shamed? I don't know. It's something interesting, and I think we're all very busy people in the world. We all have different schedules, different lives, and because important things in our life or may not be considered important in your life, or your responsibilities are different from mine, and the way I prioritize my responsibilities doesn't make me less busy, doesn't like make them less important. It just means we have different ways about going about life and different things that we make priorities. But don't shame me for it. Do not shame me for it. I do declare we must stop time shaming before it gets out of hand. You know, by the way, I tried to do a little research. I want to know if there's such a thing as actually a time shamer. And a quick Google search came nothing up. This has not been defined as a real thing, time shaming. But careful if you do decide to Google it. It brought up period shaming. And period is not referencing a fraction of time, if you know what I mean. It's something else. So that's another kind of shaming that can happen as well. Let's get into another song, shall we? Thanks for listening. Here's another one by Horace Green. Everybody, thank you for listening to The Drew Hahn Show. That was another one by Horace Green titled Sunflower Silo. I really like that tune as well. Nice flowy vibe to that one. Speaking of Horace Green, let's talk about an awkward artist moment. Here it is. Ding, ding, ding. It's time. It happened with Horace Green. Well, actually, it happened with the lead singer. I believe his name is Tony Oakley and David Paul Martin, who I'm going to talk about a little bit here. Both the artists from that spectacular Stone Arch Brewpub session. Those two were conversing up front, and I really wanted to grab myself a sticker for Horace Green for my artist sticker board. And so most of the people had fanned out, thinned out from the concert, and the two artists just had their merchandise on a back table. And the situation is, you know, I always like to, you know, just say hi to the artist, you know, and acknowledge their music and let them know I really enjoyed the show and just generally converse with them if I can when it seems appropriate and allowable. Well, sometimes I forget this line and things get blurry and I don't know when to just walk away. At the end of their show, I went to the merch table and there was a horse green sticker and I really wanted to take one. Now, normally most artists just give away their stickers, but I'm not buying any other merchandise and I usually get their music and just purchase it online. So I wanted to leave a little something. I like to give them a little money in appreciation, even if it's just a sticker. And so rather than just leaving my couple of bucks that I wanted to give Horace Green for the sticker at the table, it was fine, easily could have been done, I decided I needed an artist moment. You know, little did I know it was going to be an awkward artist moment, but I just make them awkward. That's just how I feel about them in my head. So I walk up to the front where David Paul Martin and Tony are talking. I say, hey, you guys were really great. Love both your sounds today. You know, awesome. I wanted to take a sticker. I just wanted to give you some money for it. And he's like, no, that's not necessary. I'm like, yes, I have to give you some money. Like, I was insisting that I give Horace Green some money. I was like, here, take my $2. Take my $2. You know, I couldn't have been more weird with this dude. He's just trying to talk to David anyway, you know. And I just wanted to give him money for a sticker. You know, like, I had to talk to him. So it was just like this awkward, drunken, on my part, you know, clumsiness about myself. Like, hi, guys, how you doing? Here's a sticker I want to purchase, and I'm going to give you some cash, and you're great, guys. I got to go. That's really how it felt right there. And that's putting the context of the situation in a tone, if you will. So, moral of the story, just leave the fucking money on the table, Drew, and get the hell out of there and avoid these awkward artist moments. Okay. A few more things. We're getting there. We'll talk about David Paul Martin in just a minute, but before we do, I want to talk about something that I've noticed lately, and that is I have a spiritual animal floating about my life right now. I'm trying to find the meaning in this animal, and so I did a little Googling, and interestingly enough, there is something. Okay, so here's the deal, guys. I got gnats. You heard me right. Gnats. G-N-A-T-S, gnats, or more commonly known as fruit flies. Gnats, though. I'm going to call them gnats. It just sounds more nicer, more official. Gnats. At work, this is the thing. I was recently up at one of my up north offices doing work, and I had this pesky gnat bothering me. And then I got back down to the valley, and I was at the office today, and another gnat. I'm like, what's with these gnats? And then at the home, sometimes gnats pop up too. I'm like, what's with gnats? Why am I seeing gnats? I'm not a dirty person. If you know me, I'm not a dirty person. And so I'm trying to figure out about these gnats and why they're floating about. So I Googled it. I'm like, maybe there's a meaning. Maybe I need to think about this in another aspect. You think of them as pesky, annoying, nuisance. But I'm like, maybe there's a reason I'm seeing gnats. So I Google it. And if you're following what I'm stepping in, I'm talking about like animals and secret meaning. So like, cardinals represent, you know, a deceased loved one visiting you, if you will, you know, in a spiritual perspective, you know, and blue jays represent protection and fearlessness. Dragonflies are supposed to remind us to live in the moment. And then there's ladybugs, which is believed to be an embodiment of lady luck, bringing good fortune and prosperity along with it, as a ladybug is vibrant and colorful. It influences you to experience the joys of living to the fullest. So I Googled gnat symbolism, and here's what I got for you. Okay, it's a colorful insect associated with characteristics of survival as well as transformation. I pulled this from the website called antiflow.com. I didn't read that website title until just now, so antiflow. Don't know if this can be taken seriously or not. But here are some of the traits associated with the fruit fly. Color attraction, rebirth, transformation, ability to see things in different ways, survival, mobility, and flight. Fruit flies symbolize an ability to survive even in the most hard of environments. Their capacity to make use of their resources, even what is seemingly invaluable or even trash, make them a good symbol for perseverance. They also reflect an ability to see things differently and in many ways. Their eyes are suited to see and sense more than what is ordinarily possible. Some other fun facts. As a totem or guide, the fruit fly may symbolize many things. They can be viewed as annoyances at first, but they can also be the key to deeper learning. Learning, people. Fruit flies in different cultures. Here's some interesting facts. Fruit flies have long been subjects of ancient text. In Greek mythology, A fly was sent to bite Pegasus, the winged horse. This caused his rider to fall off before he was able to reach Mount Olympus. In biblical times, flies were associated with pestilence and decay. They were represented in the fourth plague that hit Egypt. However, some cultures also associate the fly with a mentor figure as well as a messenger. This is apparent in the Native American traditions. There's also an association with celestial forces, which I think is quite interesting. They may be seen as heralds of celestial forces when it comes to time to teach man to be humble as well as send punishment. But flies are also seen as messengers of heavenly beings. They send important messages as well as teach and guide people. So I'm taking all this and I'm trying to absorb why I'm seeing these gnats. You know, I'm going through some issues in my mind and maybe there's an underlying tone to this gnat or a sign or something I should take away from these gnats being around. Fruit flies further show as a spirit guide when showing humbleness in front of victory. You are seeking change, need to show strength despite of your inabilities. You need to send a message, but you have no idea how to relay it, or you need the ability to sense the hateful behavior of someone. These are all very much things I in particular pick out about myself. You can call on fruit flies as a spirit guide when you need to keep graceful. You want a new challenge in life. You need to stand up for what you believe in. You need to clear the air, or you need to sense the protrude behavior of someone. So isn't that interesting? Those are some fun facts about fruit flies and gnats. So I'm going to take that away as a positive thing to why these gnats are flying around for me and find the symbolism or meaning behind why the gnats are around me. Maybe it's something to do with my character. They reminded me of my character and telling me to stay strong to who I am. Or maybe they're helping me realize I need to seek out a few answers in a few scenarios and situations. Not really sure. I'm examining all possibilities in my head as we proceed. Okay, you guys, we're moving along in the podcast, and I got another song coming up. It's going to be by David Paul Martin. Can I talk about him a little bit? DPM, as I like to say, DPM. Great performer, young dude. I've only seen him once or twice up until this time. He was one of the artists at that Stone Arch Brew Pub Taproom session that also played with Horace Green. And let me tell you, David was spectacular. Now, I've seen him a couple of the times before, and you know, all artists are great, and I think he's got a great sound. But this time at the Stone Arch, he really like solidified him in my mind as like someone I need to see a little bit more, actually. His sound was solid. And if I may take a moment about this particular Stone Arch Brew Pub session, the sound was also run by David. So he did his own sound for his act and then as well as the sound for Horace Green. And I don't know, great sound engineer, this guy, because both bands sounded spectacular. Nothing was really overbearing. Cooper and I even sat pretty close to the darn front. And if you recall from previous episodes, when we get close to that speaker, sometimes we are losing our hearing. But not that night. Like, both of them just had this smooth sound, all of them on electric guitars throughout the whole night. And everything just radiated beautifully. I think it was a full sound through and through the whole room. You could hear it well. And I was just thoroughly impressed. So I don't know if that's why I had such an amazing experience with these two artists, or they brought different sounds to the table that I hadn't really heard before, especially from David Paul Martin. I've seen him just twice before, and one of the times he opened up for Corey Chisel at the Howard in Oshkosh, last-minute act to be added after a cancellation happened for that show. And at that time, David, I believe, played just on a basic guitar, I like to say acoustic guitar, if you will, amped up. And this time at the Stone Arch, he played electric guitar. And now I am a huge fan of the electric guitar sound. I just think it gives music an edge and takes it away from that more acoustic-y, folksy feel, but leaves the essence of singer-songwriter in there, but, you know, powers it to another level with an electric guitar. And so I've seen David perform with just the basic acoustic guitar, and then I've listened to his music on Spotify, and on there it's got more of a piano accompaniment, if you will. So I heard two different sounds already from David Paul Martin and the way he performs his music, and then I saw a third one with the electric guitar that night at the Stone Arch Brew Pub Taproom session. So I want to acknowledge to David, I really like that sound. Stick with the electric guitar, but that's just me. I have a huge love for it. And I just think both these bands complemented each other very, very well. I think they have their own sounds, but you could blend them together and give them a beginning and an end together and have like an arc sound through and through. At least that's how I felt. I just was in love with them all. They were amazing. A few things about David. Like I said, he's a young guy, just 23, just married. This little fart just got married. David Paul Martin's making music, getting married, living the life. But good for him, honestly, because he's just an amazing guy. I've talked to him here or there. And aside from my awkward artist moment with him, it describes himself on his Facebook as indie funk folk. He's from the area as well. He performs a lot and lives in the Valley. So I think that's really cool. A local artist. I've seen a tremendous growth from David Paul Martin over the course of, I would say, 6-7 months in the time frame that I've seen him, you know, from watching him online on Facebook. I do follow him. And then from the few shows I've seen to that Stone Arch Brewpub Tap Room session, his maturity, his sound, his comfortableness on stage is all just growing. That's an amazing thing to see from an artist here in the Valley. So kudos to him. So without further ado, why don't I stop talking about him and let you hear him. This is one of my favorite songs by him. It's called Drifter.
Say goodnight to the moon, Jupiter and Mars. Never wanted to be lonely, never wanted to be far away. You feel like you're running out of playing cards when the sun starts looking like the other stars. Nothing in my power to do besides pray. Floating on, hope is strong. I'm just a drifter. The thought of you brings me home. I'm just a drifter. Floating on, hope is strong. I'm just a drifter. Holding on to memories. A single spark, don't let go, don't let go. Gather all your pictures of the past, precious jewels in a treasure chest. Don't let go, don't let go. We hold the light inside of our hearts, a blazing fire, a single spark. Don't let go, don't let go.
Drifter.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Drew Hahn Show. Thank you for listening. I want to take things in a little bit more of a serious direction here at the end of the podcast. I was recently reading news headlines online, as we do, and I came across an article about a young man by the name of Jared Wilson. He is a pastor of a mega church out in California. He founded a program titled Anthem of Hope for people with depression. And he's just 30 years old and has a wife and two kids. I read this article in sadness because this was a story about how Jared Wilson committed suicide on September 9th, 2019. I don't like reading stories like this, but a part of me needs to know or be enlightened or educated or informed, if you will, on the situation. Jared Wilson was only 30 years old, and I guess it's heartbreaking to hear of someone so young take their life. And it's hard to have sympathy for people who take their own lives. It's more hard on the people that are here in the world, and I think that's the thing we need to remember if we're ever at that breaking point. You know, what about the people around us that need us here? Because not only do we need you, but you are needed here in the world. You got to stay here. And when you think of young people committing suicide, it's just heartbreaking. It's one of the saddest things to think about. And I don't know why I can be drawn into it, but it's the only way I can think is to read this story to honor them in one teeny tiny little way. Because on the other end of the spectrum, I don't like to discuss it because you don't want to give light to something so selfish. But how can we prevent it? That's the thing. And by reading this article, I was reminded, or probably educated, that it's been Suicide Awareness Week. And so I thought I should take this information and share it in some way on a serious note here in the podcast. You know, we like to goof off and have a good time, but let's use this platform as a way just to remind ourselves, you know, myself and you as a listener, you know, that we can help those in need when the time strikes. And so I decided to do a little education, a little Googling on my part on suicide, and just looked up a few facts on it. Learned that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S., In 2017, the highest suicide rate was among adults between 45 and 54 years of age. Men died by suicide 3.5 times more often than women. White males accounted for 69% of suicide deaths in 2017. On average, there are 129 suicides per day. If I go a little bit more specific into the state of Wisconsin, where this podcast comes from, almost five times as many people died by suicide in Wisconsin in 2017 than in alcohol-related motor vehicle accidents. It's the second leading cause of death for ages 15 to 34, and on average, one person dies by suicide every 9 hours in Wisconsin. I just wanted to shed a little light. You know, I've not directly been impacted by suicide, you know, in my life, someone close to me. I know of people who know people, you know, that have committed suicide. And obviously I read the stories of suicide, and it's not something that's easy to talk about and not something that we all want to listen to either. You know, it's a sad, sad topic. I don't have direct experience, but I do have a personal experience of learning of someone very close to me, very, very close, that had wanted to commit suicide many years ago, and it was there was a suicide attempt and note, and learning of this close person to me was very heartbreaking to grasp and understand, and you know, just be so thankful that this suicide attempt was halted by someone else very close to me, and it was halted at the time by a second party that probably didn't need to have anything to do with the first party trying to commit suicide, but you know what did it and stopped and saved a life. And that's what counts. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Can we save a life? And because that person is important in this world for themselves and for other people. And if I could also refer you to a music video, you know, just for a little encouragement, it's the song by Logic. It's a beautiful video, has a little hope in it, you know, but touches on the subject of suicide. The video, you can look it up, is titled 1-800-273-8255. And that's also the suicide prevention hotline. So if I can help bring a little awareness to a very important subject here on the Drew Han Show, that's something I could do here. Thanks for listening.
Can anybody hear me? Can you see me up here? Drifting in the darkness beyond the stratosphere. Gravity's betrayed me, and I'm all alone. Every day I float farther, farther from my home. I look down at the world, what a beautiful view, the green and the blue, so close but yet so far, alone in my thoughts, what a lonely place, I wanna see your face. My air supply is running low. It's only a matter of time. This is my SOS, so I'm crying out. Can anybody help me? Pull me to the ground. This is my I never did think that it would come to this. Never in my life have I felt so powerless. So many places that I never see. The feeling of the ground is just a memory.
Riverside pastor who reached out to people coping with depression and suicidal thoughts has taken his own life. 30-year-old Jared Wilson was a founder of the outreach group Anthem of Hope. He was also an associate pastor at the megachurch Harvest Christian Fellowship. Church leaders say that he died by suicide on Monday. He is survived by his wife and two young sons. Wilson had spoken openly about his struggle with depression. He often urged anyone in need to call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
Can anybody hear me? The human satellite. has betrayed me, and I'm all alone. Every day I float farther, farther from my